9 minutes after 8 o'clock, it is 8:09. It's the Monday morning talk of the town. Back at it after a long weekend, and we say welcome into Utica Mayor David Raffaro, because it is Mayoral Monday. Mr. Mayor, welcome to the show. You're our first three-time offender, by the way.
All right. Good.
First person to be out here three times. Get that microphone set.
It doesn't want to stay.
I know. I hear that. Okay, listen, we got several things to talk about today. We always take the bad first, and then at the end we kind of let you, sound off and say what's good with Utica, and I'm sure there's going to be plenty of that this morning to talk about. But let's talk a little bit about Grow West, because I guess you could file this in things that aren't going to go away anytime soon. This is probably one of them. Give me an overview of what Grow West is and what they do.
Okay. Grow West is a pass-through for the city of Utica. What they did was they rehabilitated homes in the West End. They added just a quality of life to the West End. And, the basis for the whole investigation is that Grow West has been in existence for quite a few years, long before I got here. In the recent board, the most recent board of Grow West, when they came together, they realized over the last year that, or the last 18 months, whatever it has been, is that, there were irregularities in the way their organization was running. And so they did their own internal thing with their board, and I've got to commend the most recent board for doing that. And then once they found the irregularities, they brought on Mr. Hage as their attorney. So they actually hired the Hage Law Firm, not us. And once that they made their findings, they had to bring it to the city of Utica and myself as the mayor, because all the money goes through the city of Utica to Grow West for all these projects throughout the city. So once they brought that investigation, their internal investigation, to myself, and we realized that there was something that was really wrong here, it was my duty as the CEO of the city to make sure that something was done with that.
Do any of these issues, I guess, predate your administration? Was this an existing issue?
This all, 99% of it predates my administration. But, it's not the last administration, it's just over a culmination of many years. Mm-hmm. It's a culmination of many years. I don't honestly, as any mayor sitting in that position, you don't know everything that goes on in all subsidiaries. Sure. You can't know that. So that's one thing that I want to say. You can't, not everybody can, the mayor can't know what's going on there. But it's been going on for years. So what had happened is that once they brought it to us, Mr. Hage was already on board. And so we let him do his internal investigation, because there were a lot of timelines they had to be met. Mm-hmm. As they got into this investigation, they realized that if they didn't do an internal investigation, that, timelines had to be met, or else the statute of limitations would have ran out on many of the contractors. Mm-hmm. So Mr. Hage actually did a very diligent job in filing the lawsuits against all the contractors that he thought was he thought were in violation. He filed a lawsuit against the Grow West itself and their insurance policy, so that we could recoup funds for all the expenses that we're going to incur. But there was no choice, and we brought in the FBI. And, there may be other agencies involved. There are other agencies involved.
There's right now, Common Counselors Vicera and I believe, is it Zeca?
Zeca, yes.
Right now they're asking for the state's attorney general, state attorney general's office to step in, and possibly the state comptroller.
Well, what they don't understand is that they should have asked me first, because I could tell them that, from the very beginning when this came about, nobody wanted to touch it with a 10-foot pole. And, I told him, I says, we don't have a choice. It's our fiduciary responsibility to follow through with an investigation here. And we, many of my attorney's recommendations, I mean, I don't just make these decisions arbitrarily. I mean, every decision that I do, it comes from our corporation counsel and outside counsel. I don't make these decisions in a vacuum. So Mr. Vicera and Mr. Zeca, I don't. They should have asked yesterday. I could tell them exactly. I've told them many times what's exactly going on. The FBI supersedes the state. We also have the federal HUD involved. So we have federal agencies involved. Now, if they feel that this trickles down to the state attorney general, which I have no objection to, because I think that that's maybe going to be part of it eventually, and you know, that's fine. But there's a process to go through. And if we didn't do the process the way we did it, the statute of limitations would have run out. We would not be able to recoup the millions of dollars from the contractors that are already in place. We would have never been able to sue Grow West and do their insurance policy, because it probably would have lapsed because they have no more money and they wouldn't have paid their policy. So we were under time constraints. So, you know, they, you know, I love the... when everybody says, you know, this can't cost the taxpayers. That's such the political catchphrase line, the taxpayers, the money.
Sure.
The taxpayers couldn't afford for us not to do what we did. I don't care if the investigation is $100,000, $200,000, $300,000. We have millions of dollars of federal money at stake here. And the only reason why they haven't pulled the funding is because we've been doing our due diligence. It's because I've been begging them not to pull our federal funding. It would be devastating to Utica. I mean, this is something that's been going on for years and years and years. And here I'm, you know, we're trying to clean it up. We're doing it the best way that we can. But, you know, for the common counselors to come out and say these things, they don't know the whole investigation. I wish they would ask me first.
How much has the investigation cost so far?
We haven't even got the bill. We haven't even got the bill. But I would imagine the report has got to be anywhere $100,000, $200,000. But, I mean, that's months of work. But it's a drop in the ocean compared to what you're going to recoup. And all that money is not going to cost us anything, because we are going to make it back in the lawsuits and on the lawsuit of the insurance policy against Grow West itself, the E&O policy. So, I mean, that's a moot point. If we didn't do what we did, we would have lost out on millions of dollars in potential lawsuit money. And quite honestly, those who may be guilty, and I don't know any of this because I wasn't privy to the report until it was done. You know, those who may be guilty in a court of law, you know, would have gone free if the statute of limitations ran out. So there's a lot of things that are not being really said the right way. And a lot of politics takes over in these things because everybody wants to be out there in front. But I say to those people, where were you when I first came out, when everybody was hiding behind, oh, my gosh, you know, what is this all about, another political thing? Well, if they think that this is what I want on my watch, if they think that, let me say, this job is aging me as it is, if they think this is what I need is just another thing that I've got to clean up, they're sadly mistaken. But you know what? I said one thing. I'll never look the other way. I'll run the city through the car wash if I have to, but I'll clean it up. It's not my mess, but I'll clean it up because that's what I was elected to do. And, you know, it's unfortunate. It really is unfortunate because every time that something like this happens, it's just another black mark on the city. And that's what, you know, that's the real meat and potatoes of all of this, is that it's just something else. So, you know, if we've got to clean it up, we'll clean it up because it's the only way we could go forward. It seems I take two steps forward and you know, things happen and I got to take one step backwards. And they're not due to me. They're just due to things that have happened throughout the years. And so, you know, that's where we're at.
Let's move on to the Fire and Codes merger. That has been undone.
Well,
explain that.
Yeah. You know, that's another thing. A CEO of any company, when you come in and things are broken, you try to fix them. Okay? Now, I said that, you know, we would do these mergers and we're going to try it. We never did the legislation. You know, it was reported in the newspaper that I never said it was a trial period. Well, you know what? We never did the legislation to actually put that into the fire department's hands because I wanted to see how it worked first. Mm-hmm. So if that's not an indication that I was doing it on a trial basis to see if it worked, then nothing is. You know, you can't, you know, my father used to say, if you always do what you've always done, you've always get what you've always gotten. So if I were to come into office and just maintain the status quo, we would be the same place we were, you know, at the end of my 4 years. And so when you make some bold changes, I mean, there's always people that are going to balk, and there's always going to be people that are going to say, you know, that wasn't the move. But you know what? What was the move for the last 20 years? There was no movement. And we've made a lot of progress. The codes was running, you know, adequately. But you know what? Our fire department... His, you know, the fellow that was running it, Mr. Beck, he did a good job, but he had so many functions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's doing a lot of work. I mean, one guy can't do everything, you know. So, you know, I looked at that aspect of it. He's a hard worker. He He did a good job, but he can't do, you know, five different jobs. And, you know, we looked at it, and I said, you know, this is too much on one man. The charter also calls for a commissioner of codes. And so, you know, we thought that we could make that in the fire department, but you can't do that, okay? But, you know, when I step back and look at it, I says, we can still work hand in glove with the fire department. I says, we still save the money because I still merged the departments. I took Mr. Palmieri, who actually started the 1203 program. He's or the IROP program, rather. I mean, that was his brainchild. He started the IROP program. He works every day with colds because of the weed and seed position he has.
What is the IROP program? Explain that.
It's a residential occupancy program. It's inspections. Okay. In other words, it's inspections of dwellings. But, I mean, he's very involved on a daily basis with the codes department. So what better person to head it up than him and then bring everybody together?
So then he has practical hands-on experience, because that's been the knock from Chief Brooks, is that he really is not experienced and doesn't have the what it takes to get in there. So how are the two departments kind of coexisting now? Is that politically motivated? What's the reason for that?
Well, you know, I don't want to bring it up again, but let me tell you something. The departments are doing very well together. Let's leave it at that. The chief maybe have misspoke.
All right. Let's move on to residency laws for just a little bit. And and I haven't really seen a favorable article in the OD about you in quite some time. It seems like every move that you make, you know,
land-based.
But let's talk about residency laws for just a moment, because the OD has kind of, I guess, positioned you as being a little bit soft on this law, and there's a lot of gray areas. And in fact, there was a hire, or should I say rehire, of a resident who now lives in New Hartford. And coupled with the fact that he's, and I don't know where this plays into it at all, but possibly a distant relative of yours.
You know,
just kind of speak to that whole thing. Give me.
It is so, you know, Mike, it is so disheartening because they label the family and friends plan. You know what? I have so many friends in the city, and I do have so much family. But you know what? What people don't understand, these people were employed for the city of Utica for 20, 25, 30 years, long before I got here. In fact, every one of my department heads, except one, has been here long before I got here. I don't know whether they're Democrat, Republican. I don't even ask. I don't care, as long as they do their job. I don't have a family and friends plan. They caught fire, and it's something that I just can't, the stigma I can't get rid of. Now, this fellow you're talking about was a 20-something year veteran of the police department. The position he was in, a fellow officer who doesn't live in the city of Utica held it before him, okay? And the only reason why he got laid off was because of budget constraints. Now, he was under a layoff. So he lived out of the city then, okay? So did everybody else live out of the city then. He was only under a layoff. As soon as I found the money to bring him back, because we were spending so much money in outside agencies to do what he was doing, and he's good at it. Now, somewhere down the line, I'd have to actually go to my grandparents and figure it out where. I don't, you know, people say these things, and honestly, it's too much for me to come out and fight. What do I do? Write in the paper every day? Do I come on the radio every day and say, this is not true? I can't help with the stigma that they have portrayed. And they've done a good job, but they know it's wrong. It's a terrible, terrible thing because they know it's wrong. But, you know, it is what it is.
So does the residency law, does it make that provision that if somebody is laid off as opposed to fired, does the residency law make a provision that they can come back when funding is available?
Well, you see, here's the thing, is that the residency law, when the Common Council did the residency law, quite honestly, they didn't dot their I's and cross their T's. And there's no provisions for anything in that law, and it's in court now with the unions.
It should be noted that three unions have challenged it.
Right,
three unions
have challenged it, and I honestly, I don't know whether that residency law is going to hold up. And I told the council when they were doing it, I says, you're not doing it the right way, and they still went ahead and they did it. If you're going to do a residency law, you better do all the aspects of it before you just throw a law out there. Mm-hmm. You can't just take a law and follow somebody else's. You know, the bottom line is that, you know, and there's no, and they don't, didn't leave any provision for waivers. I mean, there are positions that honestly people don't, I can't find to fill. And you know, you got to go outside the city. Mm-hmm. Now, is the residency law good? Yeah, it's good. It's good and it's bad. It's a double-edged sword. Because when you can't find the person that you want for that job, you've got to go outside. And people say, well, come on, you can't find somebody in the city. I used to say think the same thing. But you know what? I've had jobs right now that, yeah, I can find people. They don't want to come to work for city government. They may live in the city. In fact, I was just talking to somebody this morning. They don't want to be on display. They don't want to be in government. They don't want to be subject to ridicule in the press. You know, there are people, sure, there are people. They don't want these jobs because they don't want to be subject to ridicule. So, you know, you got to find the right person that wants to take these jobs that you know, doesn't mind, you know, the politicalness of a job or the, you know, the press always hounding them. You know, there are not a lot of people that want that. There are not a lot of people that want to put their family at their ridicule, at their risk. So, you know, when they say it's easy, it's not easy to find these people because I've been searching for them. Trust me.
Wait a minute. You're not telling me that the press actually ridicules you, Mr. Mayor. is that what you're saying here?
It's a good thing I got thick skin because that doesn't bother me. As long as I know what I'm doing is the right thing. You know, sometimes I try to think that they try to control the 2011 elections. You know what? I say it like this. We've done a lot of good in the city. You know, can I make every right move? I can't make every right move. It'd be impossible. I'm only human. You know, we made mistakes. I'm sure we have somewhere down the road. But, you know, it's only through trial and error that we're going to succeed. And you know, when they say that we need stability in city government because I was shuffling around people. Well, you know what? I'd have to shuffle around people because when I came into office, I had a fellow who's got an engineering degree in the codes department. I had a fellow who is head of who really takes care of buildings and grounds and who was really a clerk of the works as the engineer. Now, does that make sense? Wouldn't you take the person that's got the engineering degree and make him the engineer? And wouldn't you take the person that's like the clerk of the works and does all the facilities and does the maintenance and was in business and who overseen all the buildings? Wouldn't you make him your facilities manager? Well, sure you would. And that's what I did. So it's not that I'm shuffling people around. I'm putting people in the right positions that were never in the right positions. That's why I've got to shuffle them around. So, you know, they say I'm shuffling them around. No, I'm putting them in the right positions where they should have been.
Let's put a final nail in the residency law coffin here. What's the future of it? Are we going to just do away with it, rewrite it?
Well, you know, that's the common council. They've got to do that. But now you've got to wait and see how the court case comes out. But, you know, there's so many caveats. They didn't put provisions in that if a person's laid off and you bring them back. And naturally, wouldn't you want to bring a person back that was laid off, that was doing the job, so that you get them off of your policy, your unemployment policy?
Sure.
You know, it's things that won't cost the city. And it's just amazing to me.
All right. I was going to talk about the parking lot a little bit today.
Sure. Which one?
Well, the new green lot down by City Hall.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me the status of that.
Oh, it's right on schedule, and we should be putting the top coat on very shortly. It's the first green parking lot in the city of Utica.
Explain that. What is a green parking lot? Obviously, it's not green asphalt. The green is in reference to environmentally friendly.
Environmentally friendly. Well, you know, when you build a parking lot, you have to have sewer systems. You have to have water runoff.
Water runoff, sure.
Well, you know, as everybody knows, we're looking at $160 million for our sewer system, and that's because we've got too much water runoff in our combined sewer system that we have here in the city of Utica and Oneida County. So what we did is we partnered with Cornell University, helped us in our Rust to Green program, which is going very well, and we made the first green parking lot in Utica. And what it is that we have a lot of water runoff. Instead of going into the sewer system, we made it so that it goes back into the environment, goes back into, really irrigating the land around it, the trees around it. Instead of going into having all the water run into the sewer system, we've diverted it and made it so that it takes care of all the vegetation around it.
Wow, what a great idea.
Yeah, yeah, it is. They did a very good job of it.
All right, we're up against news here, and I always like to, at the end of this, give you a minute or two to tell me what's good in Utica. Tell me what you're excited about right now, because I got to be honest with you. Every time you come in, I get a little bit more excited about the city.
Well, you know what? You know, we got so many good projects, and I know I go back to our number one, our harbor. That's going to be a great project. And
it's exciting.
I was just there the other day, and if anybody can get back there, I don't know if they can, but we have taken out so much earth, so many thousands of tons of earth, because we're going to start dredging the harbor very shortly. Mm-hmm. And taking the dredge spoil areas and putting them in this area. But if anybody could go back there and see the work that National Grid is doing under consent order of the DEC. If anybody can see how much earth we've taken away over there and how much it just looks like actually Yankee Stadium was gutted out.
Mm.
And it's unbelievable the thousands and thousands and thousands of tons of dirt that were taken out to get ready to dredge the harbor. It's amazing. It's amazing. I can't even describe it how amazing it is, but it's you know, it's going to be a big project for Utica.
It's going to be spectacular, and the payoff is going to be great as
well.
It is. And Utica Mayor David Raffaro, we thank you very much for joining us on Mayoral Monday. We'll have plenty more to talk about next time. That is, assuming that we have you back again.
Absolutely, Mike. Anytime.